Samuel, you there?
Yeah, hello Taylor, nice to meet you.
Hello, nice to meet you as well. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today, and just congrats with everything going on with Cobweb.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. All right. So just for starters here, I'm sure you've been asked this plenty of times, but just for the website, what's the overall elevator pitch here on Cobweb? What's the plot?
Ah, that's a difficult question. It's a story. usually you do that before doing the movie. You know, when we try to do the movie, you pitch it. Then now the movie is done.
I was just using terminology, man.
Cobweb is a story of Peter, a little boy who is sleeping in his bedroom. And one night, in the middle of the night, he hears something behind the wall. So he stand up, come close to the wall, put his ear on the wall, and he hears something doing tap, tap, tap. And since that moment, everything will go bad.
Yeah.
That's a pitch.
There we go. Well, that's great. It's a great film. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait for a lot more people to check it out in the coming weeks. So Cobweb feels like it's going in one direction, and then it feels like it shifts in something that maybe audiences aren't expecting later on in the film. When you shot the film, did you primarily shoot this in order so you can keep a consistency with production and the flow of the story, or were you guys just a little all over the place?
No. It was all cross-board, we say in English too. Yeah, we shot in the... Everything was all over the place, as you say. No, totally.
Yeah.
So we did a big work in preparation to be very clear where we will be in the story each time we shoot a sequence. You know, we say, okay, we worked a lot on the script. At this point, the audience has to know that, the character has to know that, and we think that the parents are that or that. And it was the case on every sequence, and we worked a lot with the actors and with my DOP, and after that with Drum and Lace for the score that way, you know. So we had this kind of script with kind of partition, you know, of really, really where is the mystery, at what point we are, at what step we are of that horror process, you know, and plot process, to be able to not lose ourselves each day. But because sometimes we did, the very beginning of the story in the morning, and the afternoon, it was a sequence of the end. So we had to be able, you know, to jump on it with the same intensity and not make a faux pas, you know. So yeah, we worked a lot in preparation. And, you know, we storyboarded a lot of things, and it was like a color script. At Pixar, you know, a real color script. So we were able to say, okay, we are here in the movie. So let's go on that.
Okay, perfect. I guess I'll call it, just for not giving away any spoilers, I'll call it the evil threat of this film. Feels part paranormal, and it also feels kind of part grounded in reality. So without you giving too much away, were you going for something like that, or did it just kind of happen in pre-production?
No, we wanted. We talked a lot with Chris, the scriptwriter, and my producers to find the good place for that, you know, because I really wanted something that felt classical, you know, like in an old movie. I love that feeling when you watch a movie. The kind of, you know, it's not. We didn't search for originality. We searched for that genuine feeling, you know, that that's it. And that ear, you can feel it, you can touch it. It's crawling somewhere, but it's here. It's not CGI, it's practical. And also thing, you know, when you want to play with reality gives you its own rule, you know, so that a lot of things that we couldn't do. And I think it's very grounded, but your idea you have to eat, it's supernatural, you know, but it's really, we could explain nearly everything about that thing, but But I love when you can't understand everything. I love when, you know, there's something that I think it's part of fear, you know. If everything is grounded, you are in another type of horror. I wanted that feeling that you have when something is really crawling in a wrong way. So we try to find our own level of grounded supernatural thing. At a time we did tests before shooting, and you know we made modification, and suddenly we say, okay, it's that. We have what we want, is that. And after that, I really wanted to play with the frame rate, you know, to have this old feeling about creature and things like that.
I want to ask you a question specifically of one character, Miss Divine, played by Cleopatra Coleman. She almost felt at times like a Scatman Crothers in The Shining, just kind of this character on the outside of the conflict that soon enters it. She just really stuck out to me really well. I mean, she's a great actress as well. What are your thoughts on that character?
I'm so happy that you say that because it was totally the idea. And we watched the scene together and everything. My feeling about the character of Cleo is that it's the only character that you can trust. And it's the only character who comes from the reality, you know? All the other characters, Peter is an exception because Peter is our eyes. But the parents are really not grounded in a way. They are in a, you know, their own universe. You know, it's like you are in a grim fairy tale thing. And Cleopatra is coming from reality and entering that place, you know. And when she is entering the house, it's exactly like The Shining. And she walks the same rhythm, you know, as when he's entering The Shining. So it's really, really that feeling that we wanted to create, something from the outside. Come inside the, I would say, the mess on that little place of horror.
Yeah. I don't want to exclude the rest of the cast because I thought everybody in this film was great. So let's talk about the main cast. Woody Norman, Lizzie Kaplan, and Anthony Starr deliver great performances all around. How did you assemble such a believable on-screen family, so to speak?
I am lucky. You know, like I said, I am honored and lucky. It was so cool to have the opportunity to work with all of them. And what I love is that when we find ourselves, you know, to rehearsal together in the same room, we did really a craft drama work, you know, really with the kids and at the table like a family, and we built that from scratch and wanted to find all, you know, the two faces of a coin on each character, you know, when you can say, and they have that, you know, you can love and trust Lizzie totally, and suddenly she can become the thing that you can scare the most, and it's the same for Anthony, you know, say, okay, I trust that guy, and suddenly you don't want to be in the same room with him because this guy will kill me, you know, and it was really a very precise slalom. And it was very, very playful to play, you know, it's not, you are not in a normal ground as an actor, you know, with Lizzie, we really have fun to always work to be just next to reality, you know, and be ahead of the audience and make fast turns and everything. So it was great to build that weird family in a way, you know.
Yeah. I just want to ask you, and, you know, we can tie it into the film as well. But I know you've worked in the horror thriller genre a little bit outside of this project. You know, has it always kind of been this genre for you that you've been interested in?
No, not only. To be honest, you know, I did a lot of comedy, adventure project. I have more horror to come because I love that way of expression. But I have a love story in the process too. So it was not, but what I know that I want to do that since I'm a kid, you know? I really want to tell scary stories since I'm a kid. But because I had that feeling when I was younger that, no, you can't make a horror movie until you are 50, because you will put everything you want inside and it will be bad. So, you know, I wait and before Cobweb, Marianne come in France, it was a TV show. So I said, oh, you're allowed to do a TV show. So it was my first time I could express that. And after that, it was too late. I love building scary stories and I love filming them and finds a good way to, it's so playful, so cinematographic, and so high in fiction that there is so much to learn. I have so much to learn. So I really, really I want to continue in that way. But it will never stop me to explore the other genre in a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Final question here. I just wanted to ask again about the villain of the movie per se, or the evil threat. I don't know what to call it without giving it away. But in this film, we hear it. We kind of see brief glimpses of it up until kind of the final act of the movie. You mentioned being a fan of older films and whatnot a few minutes ago. Do you believe in kind of that old not showing too much of the monster and, you know, it's what you see that don't get you scared until the final part of a film? Do you believe in that kind of that trope?
I totally believe in that. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I am Team Jaws, totally. I can say that is the best way. But you know, sometimes, for example, in The Host, you know, from Bong Joon-ho, it's the other way around, and it works so well. I think it's you really have to feel those intentions before going on the project and know what you. I wanted to show very, very few of that thing. I want to create something that can feel her presence without seeing her, like hair, for example, or this kind of thing, on spiders, or this kind of. So yeah, I really think that the more you can imagine stuff, the more scarier you will be. You know, your own mind is always scarier than what I can build and show you. So yes, I'm on that team. But you know, and sometimes I see a movie and a creature jump at me at minute 5 and say, oh, that's so great, you know, so you have to find what is makes sense with your story.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Samuel, thank you so much for just sitting down with me and talking about Cobweb. And again, just everybody go out and see it when you get a chance to. It was a fun little 90-minute horror thriller for everybody. Good luck with everything that happens with the film down the road.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. It was fun to chat with you. Thanks.